Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Dynamite is off the air, and I am on. Good evening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed tonight's Dynamite. It is Wednesday, January 26, 2022. This is Wednesday Night Dynamite. And shout out to everyone who is joining us live, everybody who is on the replay, everybody that is on video, on audio. And I want to thank you, as always, for the support. When we did the clip about Leo Rush last week, somebody with a little derogatory message like, yeah, you're such a supporter of Leo Rush. Let's see you grab a shirt from your storage and let's see you throw one on. There you go. We'll talk about Leo Rush's exit from AEW later on in the show. Had a fun episode of Dynamite. Got a cameo from Danhausen. We just talked about that like 2 weeks ago. Izzy signed to AEW. He's still recovering from a broken leg. Doesn't mean that it was cool to see a little cameo from him tonight. Sorry for everyone out there that were betting the farm, clickbaiting on their shows that Johnny Gargano was going to appear tonight on Dynamite. Look, I would love to see him back on TV. Whether it's Impact Wrestling, AEW, WWE, NXT, I would love to see him back. His wife is about to give birth. All time and effort has to be focused on her. I think I'm guilty of this also. We don't realize how much is involved. It's not just, hey, get back in the gym. Oh, just make a cameo, hop back on a plane. And it doesn't work that way. But hey, pro wrestling tees, and you could spell pro wrestling tees more than one way. You could spell it T-E-E-S, or you could spell it T-E-A-S-E. Because remember, they had that limited edition Johnny Gargano shirt on sale up until yesterday. So a lot of people thought, why would they take it off the store the day before Dynamite in Cleveland? To boot, as we said, I think Monday, so we said over the weekend, Johnny Gargano right now, there's no real storyline or foe that you can match him up with. You can't just take every former NXT person and try to align them or make them go up against Adam Cole. Kenny Omega's got to be coming back soon. And that storyline has got to continue. You know, Adam Cole, you know, Kenny Omega, you know, that is a storyline that has to develop further. So, you know, look, time is right. Johnny Gargano will be back in a wrestling ring. That you could guarantee. He's not retiring from the world of pro wrestling. We just got to take a little chill pill. So I don't know if Danhausen is going to sign. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. But nice to see him. Nice to see him walking. You know, gingerly. But walking. So, on Monday, we took a little bit of a different approach with the show. And we focused on just three topics. Instead of your typical 10 to 20, we focused on three. Raw, Ronda Rousey, Royal Rumble. Tonight, we do the same. We focus on AEW, NXT, and Ring of Honor. Yes, Ring of Honor. I will, at the end of the show, give you a couple of words, feedback from GCW's event here in New York City. A lot of people wanted my thoughts on it. I will spend 60 seconds giving you my overall feelings on GCW this week. I think some people went in there with some outrageous high hopes. I'm not putting the show down. Don't get me wrong. When you hear what I say later, most of it's complimentary. But you can't take people who do not follow GCW at all, that have never seen a minute of GCW at all, And then because everybody is hyping it and everybody is plugging and promoting it, they decide, hey, I'm going to order it. And they go into it thinking that it's going to be, you know, just another established promotion like you would see on Impact or AEW. No. No. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, I want to open up. I want to open up with Ring of Honor. And yes, yes, Ring of Honor right now is pretty much in name only. They're going to have the show WrestleMania weekend to get that WrestleMania fan bump. What happens afterwards? Your guess is as good as mine. But they did announce something, and I like this. And for everyone out there, if you've ever been a fan of Ring of Honor, whether it's back in 2002 or 2005, Summer of Punk, 2010, 2015, whatever time period, I think this is something you probably would appreciate, and you probably, it's a nice little, you know, thinking game here. Ring of Honor announced that they are creating a Hall of Fame. Sure, it's going to be a Hall of Fame just like WWE. It's not going to be a building. There's not going to be memorabilia where you could go pay and see, even though, hey, you know, anything is possible. But when you see GCW doing Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame, you know, and that I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed seeing Lufista and Ruckus and others, you know, not the music guy in AEW, but it was nice to see some of the people brought back. Dave Prazak, who I never really commingled with. But, you know, these are names, even on the Northeast, that have been around off and on for decades for yours truly. But, you know, that was kind of a success. So Ring of Honor finally doing a Hall of Fame. Now, the deal is, because they're pretty much on hiatus, they're February 7th, February 14th, and February 21st editions of ROH Television will be devoted to three, well, they say the inductees. They're supposed to be announcing four. Now, 3 weeks of TV, four inductees. That, maybe I'm thinking too much about it, but I'm thinking, is a tag team going to be part of it? Because you only have 3 weeks scheduled for four inductees. So either a tag team is going to be involved in it, or somebody who is not a wrestler in Ring of Honor. Maybe a Gabe Sapolsky. Because you wouldn't do a video package. You wouldn't dedicate a whole weekly TV episode for somebody who worked behind the scenes. So that would be three inductees that were in the ring, three TV show episodes, and one person out. My gut feeling is that we may get a tag team and three individual wrestlers. So now I say to all of you, you are welcome to write it in the chat room because on replay, everybody will see your comments. You are welcome after the show is over in the comment section. Unless you're on replay, you can write it right now in the comment section. Who would be your first four inductees? Because I was talking to, you know, a couple older wrestling fans like me that have been around since Ring of Honor's day one. Hell, you know, we were at war with Ring of Honor because of the XPW stuff. So, you know, there were a lot of names being thrown around. Jerry Lynn, Austin Aries, Xavier, Kenta, Roderick Strong. And I'm not saying that these names are not worthy. They're all worthy. Prince Nana, worthy, without a doubt. But would they be one of the first four inductees? And I say no. For me, I've narrowed it down to five wrestlers and one tag team. My five wrestlers are Low-Ki, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, and the tag team would be the Briscoes. I have a feeling the Briscoes will be put in, especially since they just dropped the GCW tag titles. A lot of people think that they are AEW bound. I'm hearing little rumblings that that is going to happen, you know, until I see it on TV, you know. But with AEW, since the contracts are so thin, and look, that's not always a negative thing. I mean, we've dissected the look what happened with Tony Nese today. Tony Nese just posted that he's available for bookings. And right away, it trends on Twitter because everybody thinks he got fired from AEW. These are people that never spent a minute to try to understand what the AEW contracts are. He's still in AEW. Nothing has changed. They just never bothered. Or the people, the shows that they tune into, never bothered to explain to them what an AEW contract truly entails. It is very, very, very watered down. You have a lot of freedom to do things elsewhere. So the Briscoes coming in, I mean, unless they make some outrageous demands, which I don't think that they will, because I don't think WWE would bring them in, with all due respect. You just look at WWE's product. The Briscoes, in my opinion, are too good for WWE. Their style, I don't think, would match. So I would say the Briscoes, especially because of the momentum that they're on and the rumors of AEW, people will tune in to watch that. I'm not sure about Low Ki for the first induction. I think you have to choose Bryan Danielson or CM Punk, because I believe one of those two would definitely accept a Hall of Fame induction from Ring of Honor. So you could bank CM Punk or Bryan Danielson. Hey, maybe both, but I think one of those two are a lock. Samoa Joe, I think his 90-day, you know, look, they're just celebrating on TV. There's not a ceremony as of yet. I haven't seen anything about a ceremony. So Samoa Joe, you know, if he's got, well, he may not even have a 90-day no-compete. He may just have a 30-day no-compete. Samoa Joe may accept the award. I would put Joe in there. Absolutely would put Joe in there. Actually, believe it or not, out of that entire list, I probably would put Joe number one. And not just because I feel bad that he got let go from NXT. So you got Joe, Bryan Danielson or Punk, Christopher Daniels, I certainly would consider putting him in, even though I think people may more relate to Christopher Daniels in TNA, and then the Briscoes. So I would go Briscoe, Samoa Joe, Punk or Danielson, and Daniels. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. By the way, shout out to AS7607 and shout out to, who's this, Mikey Ravello? Yeah, Mikey Ravello. I will get into any super chats. I now have a queue, and basically I could save everything in the queue and we could get into them all. And that doesn't mean I'm not hanging out with everybody in the chat room as well. As far as a dark horse for Hall of Fame, we're not talking WWE tonight, but if you're talking about Ring of Honor Hall of Fame, I put Amazing Red in there. Shit, nobody mentioned the SATs. I would have thought about them. I miss Boogaloo and Lowrider, two of the nicest people that I met back in the day. You know, we've already talked about their situation to death. That's really who I would focus on. If I was going to choose a dark horse, it would be somebody who was involved behind the scenes, and maybe Gabe Sapolsky. As much as I used to dislike Gabe Sapolsky and say a hell of a lot of, you know, complaints about him back in the day, I don't have any issues with Gabe anymore. I think Gabe, that would be a dark horse for the first induction, but hey, that's not bad. Shout out to Eddie Valentino. You'll get a double shout out tonight, my friend. And he's tuning in from Cleveland. I got to give a shout out to Zylot Themes. I know a lot of you follow him on Twitter, XYLOT Themes, Zylot Themes, big fan of AEW, big fan of pro wrestling. And, you know, I was getting a bunch of DMs early today. And like, hey, did you see the DT sign on Dynamite? And I said, no, I didn't see it. And they're like, yeah, it happened during Punk. Now, I have YouTube TV. I can't take screenshots anymore from YouTube TV because when you do, you just get a black screen. So I didn't know who put up the sign. And then lo and behold, it was Zylot Themes. He's in attendance. Now, I'm not going to say your shoot name. I don't know if, you know, we're allowed to say that publicly, but I do have it. And much love, my friend. But he, great tickets. The Donzilla Army always has awesome tickets at the shows. There's no doubt of that. But shout out to Zylot Themes. Zylot Themes for the awesome sign. That was pretty cool. I love it. And, you know, it's sad. It's sad because obviously I criticize social media all the time. So when you criticize social media all the time, a lot of people on social media are like, yeah, we don't want to fucking talk to you anymore. So, you know, it's nice to see, you know, some out there that still, you know, just show a lot of respect and love. And I give it back. I give back to who I get. I treat people like I want to be treated, you know, and especially at my age, especially doing this now for 25 years, you know, if somebody wants to stab me in the back, no problem. I don't forgive and forget anymore. I'm at the point of my life, like, fuck you, drop dead, seriously. So everybody that supports me, thank you. And that's why I do this, for all of you, seriously. Oh, the haters, they hate it. It's all good, man. I ain't going nowhere. The only thing that's going to take me out is if my fiance turns psycho and blows my brains out, or if I grab a heart attack or, you know, get tragically run over by a bus, unless I get sick. You know, took another COVID test today because I felt like shit and it was negative. So still, we're on the street, no COVID. All right. So I'd love to know who you would choose for your first four inductees for the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame. I think, you know, it's a nice gesture. You know, even if Ring of Honor, you figure out 6 months from now, it's done. It's just name only. Still, there's no reason why we can't acknowledge and celebrate those who pioneered and paved the way, not only for others, but who ended up representing indie wrestling. And, you know, even you look at the profile of some of these wrestlers, you know, it's they changed the landscape in a lot of ways for pro wrestling. Now, I want to say this too. Thank you very much, Ted Turner. Much love. Let's talk about Dynamite first. And I thought it was a fun show. The crowd at times, I think because of the placement, I think the crowd at times, you know, you went from extreme highs to mids, and I'm not using that as a MJF reference. You know, you go from an extreme high, you need to come down a little bit. And, you know, I think putting Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz versus 2.0 and Daniel Garcia right after that ladder match, you know, I understand the storyline. They're trying to make it look like there's dissension within the Inner Circle. You know, I was sick of that a year and a half ago. Remember, the Inner Circle, we're stronger than ever. Then 2 weeks later, you know, are they splitting up? And then they need to, you know, they need to have a, I forget what they did in the ring. And then a week later, they're in Las Vegas getting stoned and drunk and everything. And 2 weeks after that, they're wrestling each other in a tag team tour. I mean, it's a soap opera. It's enough. I want to see Santana. Look, let me explain something. And I know this is going to sound like Captain Obvious, and I think you'll all agree with me on this. All right. When it comes to AEW, there is something different about AEW that fans look at that is different from WWE. And I'll tell you what that is. Some people might get mad at me for saying this, but I think if you really think deep down, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't think you'll disagree with me. Orange Cassidy climbs the top rope during the Lights Out match and delivers a Panama Sunrise to Adam Cole. If you go back and you watch it, Adam Cole bends down, almost like he got off a plane in Japan. He bends down, and he's waiting for Orange Cassidy to execute the move. You go back and you watch it. That would be on Botchamania, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You know what preceded right after that spot? This is awesome. This is awesome. Fans, we know this is sports entertainment. We know how the sausage is made. When it comes to AEW fans, they know that this is just sports entertainment. They don't want suspension of disbelief as much as WWE. When you see Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns feuding or Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, you want to feel like they really legit want to tear each other apart. You don't want to find out that they're hanging out having beers afterwards. Jericho feuding with MJF, the big stadium stampede, puts him through a plate glass window. And the asshole that's no longer with the Jacksonville Jaguars posts a picture of MJF standing right next to Chris Jericho, right next to Tony Khan, watching on the monitor the first half of the Tape Stadium Stampede. They're hanging out like chums. Everybody, I didn't see nothing. I didn't see anything. No, I didn't saw nothing. AEW fans just want good, top quality, five-star wrestling and crazy spots and moves. They don't want that suspension of disbelief that Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy really hate each other. They just so happen to walk to the beach, almost like the scene from the movie 10. You know, fans put that aside. They see Adam Cole bend down us all and takes the move from Orange Cassidy. They're fine with that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing it. So did you see the big difference with AEW and WWE? AEW fans know that, you know, everybody gets along. They just want to see five-star, awesome spots, awesome matches. In WWE, people want more of that suspension of disbelief and storyline that two people just despise each other. And you saw it tonight in full swing. So you got, now we backtrack a little bit. You got Sammy Guevara and Cody. Big shout out to Jay Carlos. Much love, my friend. Big 100 spot from him. And you'll get double love from me tonight. He said, reporting here, showing some love. Great show, like always, and always enjoy my shows. Well, I wonder why this didn't pop up. I know why it didn't pop up. Now it'll pop up. And he said, I was right on my take on Summer Rae. He didn't see it that way, but he agrees with me. Nobody saw the take I took about Summer Rae. I don't think she's a legend. But if any of you out there have not seen my little six-minute clip about Summer Rae and all of that controversy online, when they go like this, I know it's not NXT or AEW, but when you see the way I looked at it, it had nothing to do with the legendary status. It just has to do about just being a dick. Just being a dick. I mean, you know, it's just watch it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Thank you, Jay Carlos. This segment is brought to you by Jay Carlos. Much love. So we know how the sausage is made. All right? So that's what you want to see in AEW. So you got Cody versus Sammy Guevara tonight. And in my opinion, both of those wrestlers got something back tonight. Sammy Guevara got back the TNT Championship, undisputed. Cody Rhodes got back the fans. Now, why did I say all of this about spots and suspension of disbelief with WWE? I'll tell you why. Cody versus Sammy's ladder match tonight is going to linger around match of the year candidate all throughout 2022. It was incredible. It told an amazing story. Every spot made sense. Nobody stood there and set up waiting to take pain from someone else. But, and I'm not trying to criticize anything that went down in that match tonight. But let me tell you something. Sammy Guevara is, I actually, after watching that match tonight, you know, every couple of weeks, somebody says to me, DT, if you had to start your own promotion, you know, and you had to choose between Sammy Guevara or MJF, who would you choose? And most of the time I say MJF. But after watching that tonight, I mean, the guy, and he's still extremely young. Could you imagine 10 years from now, barring serious injury? And I segue to that, the guy is insanely talented, but there's a reason why you almost never see anybody in WWE that does a ladder spot climb to the top step. See, if you're a roofer, or if you clean gutters, Or you're a painter and you got to paint the ceiling and you climb a ladder. There is a big caution sign on the top of the ladder that says, do not step on this step. You know, that step is not meant to have a human being step on it. Usually the top step, you might put a hammer on top of it. You might put, you know, you wouldn't put yourself on, you'd be nuts. But you, it's not meant for somebody to stand all the way at the top of that step. Watching Sammy Guevara go standing on the top rope and leapfrogs over the top rope to the top of the ladder and then jumps to the other ladder and takes Cody down. I've never seen that in my life. And there's a reason why. Nobody is perfect. What happens? You know, these ladders, you don't have people holding them down. I mean, we've seen a lot of times in wrestling where a wrestler will be leaning against a ladder and selling pain, but in actuality, it's trying to stabilize it. They don't make ladders with the intention of somebody jumping from one place, landing on, I'm not talking about the side top step, I'm talking about the top step. Even if Sammy Guevara is perfect, ladder is not. If a freaking ladder gives way, do you realize beyond the serious injury this man takes? You know, that scares the shit out of me. And it doesn't scare me because I'm getting older or anything like that. I'm just saying that in a lot of promotions, oh, you ain't fucking going on that top of the ladder. You want to go one, two steps down? So you're like, Cody, you mean to tell me that this wasn't impressive? Now, of course, Sammy lifted his legs up, you know, so there's momentum so Cody could execute the move properly because Sammy don't want to get injured. It was beautiful. That was insane. A superplex. But look at where Cody is standing. Cody is three steps down from the ladder, and it was still an unbelievable move. So I'm just saying, fans love these crazy, insane, unbelievable spots, and Sammy Guevara is so goddamn talented. I get very nervous when I see his style. I get nervous sometimes with Rey Fénix. And Rey Fénix, believe it or not, has dialed it back a little bit, even though he is injured right now. And I just don't want to ever in my lifetime see Sammy do one of these flips. And then because the ladder might be a little bit weak, it's not perfect. You can't go to a company and say, hey, I need a ladder with the intentions on humans jumping off from the top. There's no ladder company that this guy slips, the ladder gives out, and you're all the way at the top. You go nose down or something. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. So seriously, if I was Tony Khan, and I'm not trying to be a party pooper, if I was Tony Khan, I would say similar to what Vince McMahon said to Mick Foley decades ago, that was an unbelievable match. Don't ever do that ever again. You know? When Sammy Guevara went like this, yeah, that is cuckoo. The guy is amazing. You know, if he would have done a spot off the second or third step, I don't think anybody would have complained. It was incredible. It was an awesome match. But listen, like I said, Steph, trust me, 1-2-3 kid, 6 X-Pot, did not do shit like that in WWE. He might have done something where he, you know, like he went over the step. And you're talking about a guy that went from the rope and jumped off and leapfrogged onto the top of the step and then pushed himself off. There's nobody holding the ladder down. I just don't want to see the guy get seriously hurt. Seriously. I just don't want to see him get seriously hurt. And, but hey, as us selfish wrestling fans, it was amazing. And I really believe that Cody won back a lot of fans tonight. Early on, let's go, Cody. Cody sucks. And you know what's funny about that? You can't use the John Cena comparison anymore because when that happens with Cody, the pitch of the voice is the same. They're all men. It's like 97% men. Because when we used to talk about it with the kids and the girls with Cena, let's go Cena.
Cena sucks.
Let's go Cena.
Cena.
You hear Cody, it's let's go Cody. Cody sucks. Let's go. But by the end of that match, Cody won the fans back. I'm telling you, not every fan, but that guy, I mean, you really can't. You can't say that the guy doesn't go all out. And he went all out. And Sammy Guevara trusted him as well. So, awesome match. Loved it. Loved it. Now, later on, we had a commercial break. And Sammy comes back out. He's wearing both titles. And Fuego del Sol comes out with him. Now, earlier in the match, when Cody was taking on Sammy Guevara, there was a point where Cody had hit Crossroads off the ladder and Sammy was injured outside the ring. Fuego comes out for some reason and he's arguing with Cody and Cody takes him out. So ultimately Sammy Guevara wins the match, but later on, about an hour later during a commercial break, Sammy comes out with Fuego again. And Fuego's holding the signs and Sammy is taking the signs down and he's doing his cue card thing and he's just talking about, you know, he never politicked and this and that, and he's just happy and thanks Cleveland, everything like that. And I thought about it. We need Fuego ultimately to turn heel during a commercial break while Sammy is holding the cue cards. What needs to happen, in my opinion, is Sammy, as he's pulling the cue cards off, Fuego could have been the one that wrote the cue cards. And as Sammy is taking him off, I am the TNT champion, pulls a sign off. I am your champion. This is ours, and this and that. And then the last sign pulls it off, and Fuego says, that title's mine. He said something that you're like, oh, shit. And then Fuego just nails him. And it has to happen during a commercial break. You have the split screen. They're doing the cue cards. Fuego turns on Sammy. And trust me, I think Sammy Guevara would love to have a TNT title match against his friend. Just throwing ideas out there, everybody. Just throwing ideas out there. So let's talk about a few other things that went down tonight on Dynamite. Interesting matches. Faku Krosa, 78. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. We have a few matches set for next week. Some sound incredible. And some were like, okay. We see, now by the way, Cleveland tonight was 11 degrees out. It was 11 degrees. That's why my picture with the Snow Angels, with Sting, yes, I photoshopped that myself. I didn't do a great job because I didn't have enough time today to really work on it. One fall, I'm going to bring up NXT after this. So we're going to fly through this now. Jay Carlos, my friend, happy one-year anniversary to you, my brother. MVP of everybody here, the family, seriously. He's one step under the Godfather. I'm not kidding, too. We had a segment by the beach, and it's snow. It's 11 degrees out. And Tony Schiavone's interviewing Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks, and Hobbs is got no shirt on, or he's got like a tank top on. And Ricky Starks dressed a little bit, you know, almost looked like he was going to go snorkeling. And basically Hobbs challenges Dante Martin for a rematch next week. That is going down. Ricky Starks accepts Jay Lethal's challenge. And Ricky Starks next week will defend the FTW championship against Jay Lethal. Finally, we get Jay Lethal in, you know, a good, decent match. I mean, it shouldn't have taken this long. I mean, it's over 2 months, and we talked about that the night he debuted. Remember I said, give it 2 months. Let's see what they're doing with him. But, hey, better late than never. So we got that for next week. Chris Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz over Daniel Garcia in 2.0. The story of this match is that Santana and Ortiz did not want to tag in Chris Jericho. They wanted to do everything themselves. A little bit of frustration on Jericho's part. He tags himself in. Ortiz is pissed off at it. There's a little bit of jawjacking. And they tease that Chris Jericho is going up the rampway. Turns into a little bit of a handicap match until the very end when Jericho decides to get involved in the match again. Jericho hits the Judas effect on Matt Lee. And if you go back and you look at it, look at what Matt Lee does. Matt Lee hits a move on Ortiz, and I swear, I'm not kidding. Matt Lee turns around and walks to the middle apron. It's almost like that UFC schmuck. You remember the UFC schmuck? Remember when they had that match against the Inner Circle and Jericho was at the anybody remember which guy that was? Jericho was in the middle of the rope, and he's yelling the guy's name out, trying to get his attention, like, hit me, motherfucker. It just was awful. Matt Lee just turns around and walks to the middle rope and is just standing there waiting to get hit from Jericho. So that was sloppy. But Jericho hits the Judas effect. Ortiz, Jorge Masvidal, that might have been him. I don't remember. Was Jericho saying Jorge? I don't remember that. I don't know. Why does that not sound right? It might not have been Masvidal. I don't think so. That name sounds a little bit too complicated to be saying repeatedly. Because who else was in that match? You'd say the other names, and I remember almost immediately. But so Ortiz hits a pile driver. They get the win. Weird jawjacking with Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz. But, you know, that's how the match ends. And before we could see, like, if anything was going to follow, we immediately go to commercial. So we get a promo package with Lance Archer and Hangman Page. You know, not bad. Not bad. I would have loved to have seen Lance Archer beat the balls out of somebody tonight. Look, of course you want the Cleveland fans to get a Wardlow match, but I would have loved to have seen Lance Archer do that to the two jabronis that were in the ring with Wardlow. Lance Archer should have destroyed someone today. Velasquez? I don't think it was Velasquez. You know, it probably was Masvidal. Probably. Remember last week when Jurassic Express the Acclaim no longer number one contenders? And they said, oh, there you go. Now you got to do it to Private Party. And then the next thing you know, they're going to see them go down to the Gun Club. Like, these are teams that have no shot whatsoever. They're basically, this is what's happening right now. They're putting these teams on Dark and Elevation to boost up their numbers as quickly as possible so they can be fed to Jurassic Express. And then with the loss, they go back down on the list. And eventually, you know who's going up on that list? Brody King and Malakai Black. That's the new toy. Tony Khan is infatuated with the House of Black. The House of Black are going to be your number one contenders about 2 to 3 weeks. You give it about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll see that happen. Yeah, no, it was Junior Dos Santos. Thank you, Sinister. That is him. Junior! Oh, no, Santos! Yeah, it was Dos Santos. But Private Party versus Jurassic Express, you know, it's a novelty match. We know where that's going. That will happen on Rampage on Friday. Anthony Bowens and Max Caster cut a promo, and we find out that even though it's Championship Friday, Anthony Bowens will be taking on Jon Moxley. So I don't think anybody's going to complain. You know, it's nice to see Jon Moxley back, and my God, I mean, this is his fourth match in, about a week? So it's going to be a little over a week, four matches already. We have that to look forward to on Friday. CM Punk, MJF. CM Punk comes out, talks about Cleveland. He talks about, you know, why the fans like him. He knows that not everybody likes CM Punk. The fans don't like him because he wins. They don't hate him because he loses. He fights like Cleveland, you know. All we needed, Punk, is to go right here in Cleveland. And, you know, he's cutting the awesome promos that he does. He gets interrupted by MJF. And we're getting the back and forth, and they're going at it. And MJF brings up the lawsuit with Colt Cabana without mentioning Colt Cabana's name. Because he said, you know, when you lose, you're going to go run to a podcast. Now, people need to understand, even though MJF did not name drop Colt Cabana, you know, Colt Cabana is still in AEW. Something tells me at some point Colt Cabana and CM Punk have talked. I hope they buried the hatchet. I would not be surprised. Let me say it like that. I would not be surprised if Tony Khan, you know, had maybe had Colt Cabana and CM Punk come together and look, we got to make sure there's no friction in the air and this and that. And I'm sure, look, say what you want about these guys, whether you like them or not, but they are businessmen as well. And I think they probably buried the hatchet. I hope they did. So, shout out to Kevin Milwaukee. Much love, my friend. Much love. Yes. No, Benjamin, the doctor sued CM Punk first. But what happened was there was crazy-ass legal bills. And then there was controversy. I think what Colt Cabana thought that Punk's lawyer was going to pay and this and that. And then you had that secondary lawsuit. And didn't I thought that they won. You know, it was a mess, man. I just put up the retro episode, you know, of, you know, his appearance on Colt Cabana's podcast. But, you know, they're basically, CM Punk is going off on MJF saying he's more like a fan. And MJF, we find out that MJF and CM Punk are going to face each other next week. I know what a lot of you are saying. Why is this not being saved for a pay-per-view? And I agree 100%. It reminds me of some of what has happened. Look at MJF and Darby Allin. We thought that feud should have continued for another month or two. CM Punk versus Darby Allin, we thought that storyline would go a little bit longer. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, they burned through CM Punk and MJF. And if you remember, CM Punk came out and cut that promo and says, look, MJF wants to go on to other things. That's fine with me. I want to go for gold. And there was a big uproar online, like, wait, why are they moving away? So props to AEW for changing their mind. But they're doing the match next week. And look, I love it. And I know you all love it. We watch Dynamite. So to see them next week on the show, it's going to be phenomenal. But you would think that there'd be some awesome pay-per-view money to be had on this. I don't know why this was burned through so quickly. So we'll see what happens. But they're going to get the match next week. MJF teases that he's going to get in the ring and attack Punk tonight. He brings out Wardlow and FTR. And earlier in the night, about a half hour earlier, Wardlow beat in a two-on-one handicap match Elijah Dean and Josh Alexander literally in 2 minutes. You know, it was just suplex, powerbomb after powerbomb. You know, he got it the win. You know, Wardlow is a Cleveland boy. Heroes welcome. So early on, fans are all into Wardlow. So fast forward to CM Punk and MJF. MJF teases that he's going to hit the ring. He brings out FTR and Wardlow. And while Punk is zoned in on them, Sean Spears attacks CM Punk from behind. Punk tries to fight off Spears. This proceeds to have FTR hit the ring. Wardlow is just standing in a corner watching everything. And FTR is beating down CM Punk, Sean Spears, chair to the back. And the fans, you could start hearing the Wardlow chants. They think that Wardlow is going to turn babyface. So MJF then says to Wardlow, powerbomb him. And one of the members of FTR puts, it might have been Shawn Spears, put a chair in the middle of the ring. They wanted Wardlow to powerbomb CM Punk onto the chair. And the fans, they're like, no, no. And Wardlow teasing, you know, but Wardlow does it anyway. He powerbombs CM Punk on the chair. And Punk is writhing in pain. And MJF not only sits on CM Punk's chest, but he folds his legs like DDP yoga. And MJF says, I'm going to end, your journey is going to end in the same place where it started, in Chicago. So that match will be happening next week. That better close out the show. I know we get awesome matches to open up shows, but I kind of like want to go off the air with that freaking match. Honestly, you know, sometimes you want to, you know, look, you see a movie, you know, sometimes you get some awesome shit at the beginning of the movie, you know, but sometimes the way a story goes down, you want the end of the story to happen at the end of the night. I want that match to close out Dynamite. We will see. We get a bunch of promos. And oh, and by the way, I never ever thought about this, but Anthony Bowens had me laughing today. Anthony Bowens, when he was making fun of John Moxley, he said that Al Bundy looking ass. If you look at John Moxley's haircut, it really does look a lot like Al Bundy in the final years of Married with Children. I thought that shit was hilarious. Seriously. I mean, if you go and you look at Al Bundy's hair and Moxley's, it is very, very similar. Very similar. A match that I don't know, you know, what to think of it. You know, I hope it's good. Jade Cargill and Anna Jay last week, the match they put on, Jade Cargill deserves, you know, us to let it ride. Because they had a decent match last week. Again, none of the true contenders in the women's division, for some reason, they're all having ice cream. They're all having sippy drinks in a bar. None of them are challenging Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill, you know, now she's going to take on Julie Hart. And by the way, no Brian Pillman Jr. today. If you see in the preview of the topics today, I wrote down, did AEW cancel Brian Pillman Jr.'s momentum? I ask you, do you feel that they have killed the Varsity Blondes' momentum of Brian Pillman Jr.? I don't know if it has anything to do with this, but I don't know if you all remember this, but it was, I would say in December, right? It was in December that Brian Pillman Jr. wore a sweatshirt that said cancel culture. And he got a lot of heat online for it. A lot of people are freaking pissed off at Brian Pillman Jr. for that, wearing that sweatshirt. So I don't know if you're aware of this that went down. This was, I believe, last week. Brian Pillman Jr. went to Starbucks. Apparently something happened at Starbucks. So Brian Pillman Jr. on Twitter writes, oh, let me put the right one. This one will look a little better. Yeah, this one's better. Okay. So it's not even 1:30, and this Starbucks has locked all of its customers outside in the cold and is only doing drive-through orders. They have 7 employees inside. What gives? Starbucks. So CM Punk responds to Brian Pillman Jr., is this cancel culture? Now remember the sweatshirt, and remember a lot of backlash that Brian Pillman Jr. got for that sweatshirt. So what happens after CM Punk posts this tweet? Well, he, hold on. Wait. There you go. He deleted the tweet. Brian Pillman Jr. immediately deleted the tweet after CM Punk threw it back to Brian Pillman Jr.'s face. Is this cancel culture? So remember Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison, they did that whole storyline with Malachi Black and Brody King. Well, originally Malachi Black, they spit the mist. This was leading to something. And then Malachi Black pretty much squashed Brian Pillman Jr. And then Brody King comes in and they squash the Varsity Blondes. Julie Hart is still wearing the freaking patch. And then tonight, when Jade Cargill's attorney, you know, tells Julie, you know, you get the next shot. And Griff Garrison's like, I don't think it's a good idea. You know, you still have pain in your eye. And she's like, I can fight my own battles, Griff. Yeah, I'll sign it. So now we got Julie Hart versus Jade Cargill on Friday. And I ask you, the Varsity Blondes, you know, it seems like any momentum has been killed. Did they kill Brian Pillman Jr., or as I phrased it, did they cancel Brian Pillman Jr.'s momentum? It sure freaking feels that way. It feels, especially after they went through Malachi Black and Brody King. I mean, it's where does this go from here? So, getting back to tonight, Dr. Britt Baker comes out, and she, there's a setup in the ring, and this goes back to what I said about the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Awards. You know, there was so much awarded to AEW because AEW was going to use it, milk it, promote it, plug it. PWI gets a lot of rub off of this. AEW gets rubs off of it as well. So Britt bragging about, you know, match of the year, woman of the year, star of the year, you know, star of the planet. And she puts down Cleveland. And she brings up the Browns quarterback, Baker Mayfield, insults the crap out of him. She's getting booed out of the building. She won't settle until she's female in a decade. We get no confrontations. Like I said, what happened to all the main event women? Every single one of them. None of them were out there. None. Zero. And Nyla Rose, we had a segment later when they were promoting the shows for tonight. Nyla Rose comes out with Vicky. She's yelling, excuse me. And she's calling out Ruby Soho. And it looks like we're going to get Nyla Rose versus Ruby Soho next week. And still, you know, I'm not trying to crap on Jade Cargill's run. But this is what we feared. That as soon as she won, you know, it's like all the people in the tournament, they're out for ladies' night. You know, what is it? Seriously. I mean, what happened to all of them? Is there a cruise that I'm not aware of? I mean, it's just, it's being done very, very bad right now. And even the Britt Baker stuff comes out, no challenges whatsoever. Layla Hirsch, did you even know that Red Velvet was the number one contender? That was, I mean, I knew from looking at the, that just shows you how ridiculously bad this setup is. Layla Hirsch beats Red Velvet. And the storyline that doesn't want to end. It's funny how everybody rips WWE. Can they, whenever they do their can they coexist crap. We had Layla Hirsch and Chris Statlander in a match 2 weeks ago. Can they coexist? The answer is no. And nothing happens for 2 weeks. And then tonight, Layla Hirsch beats Red Velvet. After the match is over, she attacks her again, puts her in an armbar. Chris Statlander makes the save. Layla Hirsch gets out of Dodge. Oh, yeah, they're still feuding. Something that should only take 2 to 3 weeks, and a feud takes 6 weeks, maybe even longer. And they don't even have a match scheduled for next week as well. So, I guess all we have left tonight in the match department is Adam Cole versus Orange Cassidy, the lights out match. And match was okay. Crowd was a little warm at times. It just felt like it dragged a little bit. Early on in the match, we had the cameo from Danhausen. He was under the ring. Adam Cole got the upper hand on Orange Cassidy. Adam Cole went under the ring to grab toys. And when he grabbed the chair, Danhausen came out with him. And Adam Cole's looking at him like, fuck are you doing here? And he just, he's got nice little jacket on. I mean, I know a lot of people never saw the Danhausen stuff with the Ring of Honor under the ring and everything like that. So that might be new for some people today. But it was a nice little cameo. The story of this match, mostly, was Orange Cassidy's hand. Because Adam Cole, early in the match, was getting some offense in on Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy sort of put Adam Cole through the table, but it looked kind of weak. It just looked like, you know, let me just throw you in a table. It's like something you and I would do. It was not like a spear or anything. It just, they just went through a table. But what happened was Orange Cassidy went for the orange punch outside the ring, and Adam Cole picked up a ring bell. So Orange Cassidy hit the ring bell, selling the hand. Adam Cole then puts Orange Cassidy's fingers between the ring steps and the ring, which that looked great. You know, we've seen spots, Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch, you put the it inside and, you know, it still looks good, but this looked great because when Adam Cole kicked the ring steps, it really looked like it crushed Orange Cassidy's hand. It was great visual. And Orange Cassidy is selling it big time. While he's doing that, Adam Cole throws some chairs in the ring, a chain, a trash can. Then we go to commercial. Kind of like broke up a little bit of momentum that it had. Soon as they come back from commercial, Adam Cole is yelling for somebody in the back. And out goes fucking Brandon Cutler with the spray. He's laid out by Wheeler Utah. You know my feelings on that. Bobby Fish comes out. Lays out Wheeler Utah. Best Friends come out. Then the Young Bucks take out the Best Friends. Roppongi Vice. They take out the Young Bucks. And then Adam Cole attempts a low blow on Orange Cassidy. But Orange Cassidy is wearing a cup that supposedly had thumbtacks in it. Now, it was fine and everything until you go back and you watch an Orange Cassidy like hit like the inner thigh. I mean, of course, you're not going to hit somebody really in the balls. So Adam Cole is selling like he just, you know, got his hands in thumbtacks. And Orange Cassidy proceeds to do his kicks. And then this is when, you know, Orange Cassidy climbed the rope. And Adam Cole walks up to him, bends down, and says, give me the Panama Sunrise. And that's what Orange Cassidy did. Adam Cole tries to get out of Dodge, tries to go to the back. Orange Cassidy follows him, and now we're in the back, and we see Tony Khan and Jerry Lynn. They tease like Jerry Lynn is going to take a spot. You know, he's in between Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy, and then they pull him out of the way, but Adam Cole, Orange Cassidy, they go through a table right in front of Tony Khan, and for some reason, Tony Khan, the whole time, all you saw was his hand like this. They're doing all this stuff, and all you did, like his hand was frozen. Like he was, like, stopping traffic. Just kept doing that. So they go back on the rampway, and Orange Cassidy grabs a chain, but Adam Cole takes him out with a light. And I was like, okay, lights out match, takes him out with a light. Okay, pretty cool. I was hoping the lights would have gone out. We would have gotten the surprise, but we didn't get that. Adam Cole climbs one of these trusses, and there's a wooden plank on the top. So you know that something is going to happen on the top. So Adam Cole, I guess, wherever Orange Cassidy was on the mat, I don't know what Adam Cole was going to do. Why would you go all the way in the top of a truss, what, 12 feet high or whatever it is, 15 feet high, to jump down, what, to do a Panama Sunrise? I mean, what do you want, a Sid Vicious moment? So I don't know what he was going to do, but he climbs it. He looks down, and there's no Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy climbs up behind him, gives him a low blow, and I'll be honest with you, I enjoyed this episode of Dynamite, but I thought the very end was goofy beyond belief. And look, you know, I'm a Jim Cornette fan now, and I do enjoy his stuff. I'm very curious to see what his reaction is going to be to this. Orange Cassidy hugs Adam Cole. Now, I guess a lot of us thought he was probably going to just do the dumb kiss thing that, you know, the Young Bucks do with Adam Cole, but Orange Cassidy looks down, and there's a table or some very thin, very, very, very thin plywood with some cushions underneath. So, you know, they're going through it. But the spot going off was great. I'm not criticizing the spot. What I thought was horrendously goofy was that Orange Cassidy was hugging Adam Cole. And I'm not kidding. Adam Cole looked like me when I wake up in the morning and I have to pee really, really bad and someone else is in the toilet and they're taking their time. And I'm like, I gotta go. Adam Cole looked like a fish out of water. Adam Cole was trying to sell. He couldn't break out of the hug. It was awful, goofy. Adam Cole is looking helpless like, why didn't you just headbutt him in the fucking face? It looked ridiculous. And Orange Cassidy, they jump off. They go through, you know, the setup. And Orange Cassidy pins Adam Cole. And that's how we go off the air. The spot was great. I'm not criticizing the spot. What happened right before it, go back and watch it. Please, if you disagree with me, tell me. It just looked so awful that Adam Cole is like, he's like got this worried look on his face and he can't break out of a hug. And what was worse about it is like this sideways, like this. Orange Cassidy is facing Adam Cole. So he's got him like this. So really all you got to do is go like this and you break out of it. And he looked like a fish out of water. He looked like me. Or better yet, if I had to take a massive dump and you know it's about to, you know, go through the exit door and somebody's in the bathroom like, I got to use the bathroom. All right, I'll be right there. And then you hear the toothbrush going and like, yeah, I was kind of goofy. But that's how they went off the air. So what we have looking forward to on Rampage this Friday is Jurassic Express versus Private Party for the tag titles, Anthony Bowens versus Jon Moxley, Jade Cargill versus Julie Hart for the TBS title, and we're finally getting the match, FTR versus Lee Johnson and Brock Anderson. We'll have Arn in their corner, Tully in FTR's corner. We'll probably see a little bit of reaction between the two, a little interaction. So not too bad. Next week on Dynamite, we have Powerhouse Hobbs versus Dante Martin. Ricky Starks defending the FTW title against Jay Lethal. Ruby Soho versus Nyla Rose, even though I don't think it's confirmed, but I think it's happening. Pac and Penta versus Brody King and Malakai Black. Now, earlier in the night, Malakai Black cut a promo talking about the House of Black and talking about chaos. And Brody King enters, cuts his promo. Anybody that's never seen Brody King cut a promo before, very, very good on the mic. And, you know, very assertive. And they're basically, Pac went against the House of Black, and next week we're going to get that match. I personally would be shocked if the House of Black were to lose. I just, from what I hear, they are just shits and giggles about this House of Black team. And it seems like Acclaimed, all that momentum, done. Private Party, Dark and Elevation momentum, done. After that, it's going to be the Gun Club with a like, it's amazing. They're like 42-3. How many times have you been on that? That's going to be done. Then you're going to have the House of Black just like this, number one contenders. Not a bad episode of Dynamite. Not a bad episode. Look, no TV show that we watch is ever perfect. So every show has its flaws. AEW, not bad tonight at all. So moving over to NXT, I'll just give you some quick results. And then we have some news about NXT Vengeance Day and five matches already announced. Yesterday on NXT, and by the way, NXT's rating went up just a drop. It went up 1% to 593. And look, we talked about it. Impact Wrestling, five straight weeks of growth. 60% rating increase over that 5 weeks. Last week, Impact Wrestling was the only show that had experienced an increase. Every other show had gone down. That was actually the week before. Now I'm happy to say, and I'm sure nobody has caught on to it yet, that over the last 7 days, every wrestling show went up in ratings. That does not happen often at all. I mean, we've had weeks where every show has gone down. This time, every show that's on TV went up. NXT went up 1%. Raw went up 9%. Rampage went up almost 13%. SmackDown went up almost 10%. Impact went up 13%. And Dynamite went up 6.5%. Now, these are not just tiny, tiny little increases, with the exception of NXT. NXT, yes, I agree, Joe. Fun episode this week. MSK advance in the Dusty Classic, beating Kushida. And, Hikaru and Hiro. And you know, look, babyface versus babyface. Crowd loved it. Basically, what had happened was Kushida had the submission hold, and Wes Lee, I'm just looking at my notes, jumped off the middle rope, hit a blockbuster on Kushida, who's not looking, pins him. After the match is over, a sign of respect, handshake, and MSK advanced. Now, you remember my predictions. We will revisit it in about 5 minutes to see where we're at with the Dusty Classic. Santos Escobar comes out with Legado del Fantasma, cuts a promo on Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker comes out because this is the next feud. Bron Breakker versus Santos. Santos Escobar is going to make Bron Breakker look like $1 million. Bron Breakker does great. But Santos Escobar, if there was anybody in that ring that'll make Bron look that much better at Santos Escobar. And look, they have history with family members who are famous wrestlers. But Santos Escobar is not intimidated by Bron Breakker. And what ends up happening is Legado del Fantasma attempts to attack Bron Breakker. He gets the upper hand. They get out of Dodge. Keep Bron on your mind. We'll repeat it. We'll get into him again at the end of the recap. Solo Sikoa over Boa. Yeah, that rhymed. I'm a poet in case you didn't know it. Solo Sikoa beat Boa in a no DQ falls count anywhere match. You know, I see why I hate social media. I get more and more examples. You know, last night, you know, Solo Sikoa had some face paint on. Now, there's a lot of rumors Umaga's going in the Hall of Fame this year. I think it is. I think it's going to happen. And, you know, WWE on their Twitter account just wrote one word, homage. Solo Sikoa paid homage to Umaga. And you have these established websites. These are not just like, you know, little kids that just don't understand, don't know the meaning of the word homage. WWE writes homage, and somebody writes, you misspelled it, it's called Umaga. They actually thought that they misspelled Umaga's name. And I see, like, all of these other people, like, smelling blood in the water, all reposting this moron for making a mistake. And I figure it out. Like, people are looking for nonsensical, stupid shit and using that as a reason to rant. You know, we've seen so much dumb shit. NXT, WWE officials, remember that one we talked about last week? WWE officials are disappointed with NXT 2.0's first 4 months that they expected the fans to gravitate to the wrestlers more. What the hell does that mean? Tell me, what does that mean? Ratings? What the hell does that mean? I brought up 38 wrestlers last week. 38 who stock has gone up in 4 months. It's just people are just looking for any nonsense, dumb shit just to go against it, make themselves look like genius, like a genius. So, falls count anywhere match, a lot of fun. You know, Sikoa with the superfly splash, putting Boa through the table, getting the win. Somebody asked me if Sokoa was going to be in the Royal Rumble. I do not believe so. No. They don't want the Uso reference. They're trying to get away from that for now. Gunther, I loved it. I loved it yesterday. It made sense. Gunther. I will keep saying Gunther. Gunther and Imperium, they do a promo. And basically what Gunther, the former Walter, says, he talks about the name Walter. That is his first name. We've talked about that before. And he says yesterday, that's the name his parents gave him in honor of his family's patriarch. And he says, but I need to create my identity. And he talked in German, and Imperium looking great as ever. And it made sense. It made sense. This is NXT. This is developmental. It doesn't have to be storyline of the year. What he said was, look, you know, I was named after the family patriarch and I'm honored and this and that, but I need to have my own identity, not based on other family members. And he is Gunther, and they are going to remain successful. I liked it. It made sense. All right. Okay. WWE, fatal mistake, not doing their diligence and vetting that Gunther Stark. Just call it Gunther. You don't need to say anything else. We look back on it. Probably the best thing that WWE did was make this mistake, and I'll tell you why. If there was never a Nazi named Gunther Stark, he would be called Gunther Stark right now. And I guarantee you, if you look at the over the years in history, wrestlers ultimately do drop names. Antonio Cesaro. You know, you could go down the list of a lot of wrestlers who now only have one name. So you would have heard him today, Gunther Stark, yesterday. Gunther Stark. So the fact that WWE made that mistake was a good thing, because now they were forced to drop that last name. And if we get used to Gunther, and it sounds better just to have one name, because I know those fans, they'll probably go Gunther, or Gunther, whatever they do. It sounds like almost like a Goldberg chant. What would you rather chant? Gunther Stark, or Gunther, or Gunther's gonna kill you. Gunther's gonna kill you. It just sounds better. I liked it. Duke Hudson over Guru Rosh in a squash match. Kaylee Ray, Indy Hartwell, and Persia Perota over Toxic Attraction. Kaylee Ray basically gets her bat, chases Mandy Rose out of there, turns it to a tag team match. And Perota with the sit-out cutter to Gigi Dolin. And when we get to NXT Vengeance Day, we'll show you how this may come back into play. A segment with Raquel Gonzalez and Cora Jade. Cora thinks that Raquel, she would be a great partner for Raquel in the Dusty Classic. Take note, they have not done the tournament yet for the women. There might only be four women in this tournament. Four teams, I should say. You know, and the men's side had eight. Don't be surprised the women only have four. Raquel Gonzalez continuing the storyline that she may actually team up with Dakota Kai, who she's been feuding with. The Grizzled Young Veterans, they beat Chase University, Andre Chase and Bodie Hayward, to advance in the Dusty Classic. Enjoyed it. I don't want to jump ahead, but I guess we can. If these were my original predictions for the Dusty Classic, and as you can see, my predictions are still 100% intact, I believe, and I'll say it again, I know I said it last week, if the Grizzled Young Veterans do not win this Dusty Classic, and I don't normally say things like this because I don't like, you know, predicting releases. I think it's disrespectful, but if the Grizzled Young Veterans couldn't get over with more established stars, How the hell are they going to get over against teams that the fans don't really care too much about right now? I think it comes down to MSK versus the Grizzled Young Veterans. I think the Grizzled Young Veterans will win. If they don't, I think their WWE career will be all but over. So, believe it or not, soon, I think they will win it. After that match is over, Von Wagner comes in and beats the crap out of Chase University until Robert Stone shows up, gives him a jacket. Von Wagner is now represented by Robert Stone. Little surprised. I have nothing against Robert Stone. I don't know how much this is going to help. It almost feels like a Harvey Whippleman, and I have nothing against Harvey Whippleman, but I never got into Harvey Whippleman as a WWF manager. This kind of feels like Harvey Whippleman. I don't know why, but maybe I'll end up liking it. Grayson Waller, his bodyguard that we showed last week, he's got a new name. He used to be Sarav. He will now be known as Sangha. S-A-N-G-A, Sangha. The Sangha kid. He is Grayson Waller's bodyguard. And he brought up the Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash reference. We brought up that 2 weeks ago. We said Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, AJ Styles, Omos. That's what it feels like. The reason why it may actually be a little bit better, because like more like Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash, because Kevin Nash would just stand there. Would never say anything. In the beginning, would never say anything. And I don't expect Sangha to be on the mic all that much. So, Odyssey Jones is out of action with a knee injury, surgery, maybe out until August. Ouch. Io Shirai over Tiffany Stratton. She had a better match. And look, like I brought up before, NXT has no house shows. They want her to perform live in front of fans. And the only opportunity right now is Tuesday nights. There's no local gyms that they're performing at right now. And, you know, give her credit. She had a better match this time around. Malcolm Bivens and Diamond Mind. There's going to be a 6-man tag match next week. Imperium and Gunther versus Diamond Mind. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, and I know a lot of you out there, you would not leave me alone or you would not forgive me if I didn't at least show you a picture of OJ. I call her OJ for short. Ollie J, she performed her song Make 'Em Fall. Yeah, Make 'Em Fall. I'm gonna stay clean tonight. Look, as Mish said yesterday on a Patreon show, it's almost like the new Hit Row, so to speak. I don't think she did all that bad. But, by the way, the links going around that there is a bunch of nudes and videos of her online, I did check them out because some of you asked me if it's legit. And I can tell you, I do not believe that it is legit. There is, I don't know if it's OnlyFans, but there is an account with the name Ollie J on it, and the girl looks a lot like her. But I don't think it's her. I didn't spend much time really examining the situation. Like, if I really needed to examine the situation, and we're not going to do it here tonight, but I would have to go back and see if there's, like, any, like, distinctive birthmarks. Stretch marks, because you can get stretch marks on the bosoms area. Like, we got to find, like, a mole, like, something distinctive. So, I don't know if I want to do that much investigative journalism. Somebody may get very, very angry with me. Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that research. So, do not super chat me to do it either. So, you saw Carmelo Hayes catch a peek. He, like, took a from behind, I should add. Cameron Grimes over Tony D'Angelo. And as a result, Cameron Grimes will take on Carmelo Hayes for the NXT North American Championship and NXT Vengeance. And the story with this, Tony D'Angelo at one point was by the announcer's table, and Pete Dunne shows up with what, the cricket bat, and nails D'Angelo with it. So Cameron Grimes with the cave-in beats Tony D'Angelo, and he gets the NXT North American title shot. So, and at the very end of the night, we get a little backstage with Bron Breakker. And we think there could be an attack, and Tommaso Ciampa shows up. Tommaso Ciampa acting like he's aligning with Bron Breakker. Little fist pump. We go off the air. I saw a lot of people reporting that there was going to be a handicap match next week. I think nothing of the sort. I think it will be Legado del Fantasma versus Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa. And maybe Santos Escobar does a run-in. But I don't believe that that's going to be a handicap match. So, not a bad episode of NXT. I thought it was fun. I mean, again, it's developmental, so it's not going to be anything uber strong. That's why we don't spend that much time on it. So, NXT Vengeance Day. They have announced it. It'll be February 15th, which is 3 weeks from now. So we got a three-week build for NXT Vengeance Day. And already announced, we have Carmelo Hayes defending the NXT North American Championship versus Cameron Grimes. We have Mandy Rose versus Kaylee Ray for the Women's Championship. Bron Breakker versus Santos Escobar for the NXT Championship. And then we will have Imperium defending the NXT Tag Team Championships against the winner of the Men's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. So if my predictions stick, it would be Imperium versus the Grizzled Young Veterans, which would be interesting. Shout out to Kenny Williams. What's going on, Kenny? And then we have Toxic Attraction. Gigi Dolin and JC Jane defending the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships against the winners of the Women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. A lot of people think that Indy Hartwell and Persia Peralta will end up being in this tournament. They think that they are the favorites. It would be really interesting if they did Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez, or Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai versus Toxic Attraction. I don't see that happening, but again, we don't know the brackets yet, but I heard, don't be surprised if there's only four tag teams. So that is your Vengeance Day matches so far, five. And I don't think there's going to be anything else added because it's only a two-hour show. You'll have a couple of skits mixed in with that as well. Maybe one more match at the most. So, three more topics we'll get out of here. First is a rumor. We don't know if it's official yet, but rumor is Brian Kendrick requested his release from WWE. I'm trying to get the details on it. As soon as I hear something, I'll let you know. One that is not a rumor is Lio Rush. Lio Rush announced on his social media page that on February 14th, his AEW contract will expire. He will now be a free agent. And he put up his email address, leorushnow@gmail.com, for any booking inquiries. Now, look, I'm a supporter of Lio Rush. Been a supporter of Lio Rush for a while. Sure, some wrestlers might be a little bit more difficult to deal with. I respect someone who has the balls to speak out and stick up for friends and people that they care for, even if it could put their, you know, employment in jeopardy. He stuck up for Big Swall. You know, look, remember what I said. You know, my problem with Tony Khan's tweet was only one thing. I don't think there's this giant diversity issue, but it's not my place. I'm not black. I'm not Asian. I'm not Indian. It's not my place to judge. It's those ethnicities are the ones that have to judge that, not me. But the thing is, my problem with Tony Khan was only one thing about that tweet. Going on New Year's Eve and saying that she was not a good wrestler, that's just being a dick. Just being a dick, in my just my opinion. So to do that on New Year's Eve, especially after, you know, what went down, I commend the guy sticking up for her. Now, what I do find funny, is that the people that uber gush over AEW, they all went against this guy. They all criticized him. They said, no wonder why he can't keep a job. The funny thing about it is, they all got uber fucking silent when Lio Rush was announced for Terminus or announced for other promotions. Like, you know, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, they gush over AEW, so they'll be quick to say, yeah, no wonder. You know, I wouldn't hire him. And then when other companies hire him, see how quiet they get? Just like when Roxy went to the Performance Center for a tryout. This was right after the releases. All the people online that were like, anybody that even thinks about signing with WWE, you got to be out of your freaking mind. Okay, so now people went and took tryouts. And suddenly, none of them had the kahunas to go up to these people. What are you, stupid? What are you asking for? You deserve to get hired and fired. How could you do that? See how quick they get all silent? This guy had the balls to speak his mind. And unfortunately, out of the result, you know, he was removed from all storylines. He was removed from any mention whatsoever. And now he's going to be gone from AEW. So I hope this guy is extremely talented. I hope he kicks ass somewhere else. Now, someone late last night, I was doing a show last night, but somebody brought to my attention that Velveteen Dream did an interview. I have not had a chance to check it out yet. I will check it out and I will make some comments over the weekend. So I hope the best for Lio Rush. You know, takes balls to speak out like that. I don't think he was trying to start wars or provoke anything. That was a dick move that Tony Khan did. And, you know, so people needed to call him out on it. So, but, you know, you call out your boss, you know, you got to be prepared for the consequences. So, you know, I'm not surprised about this, but, you know, I'm not going to, you know, say that this guy is, you know, a problem wherever he works. I think that's wrong. All right. One last thing before we go tonight. Actually, two. I'll give you two more things. This is something you'll want to see. AEW has a couple of limited edition shirts on sale. They have a Street Fighter theme to it. There are three of them. They're only available for 2 weeks. I believe the last day they're on sale is February 7th. Don't hold me on that date, but it's one. It's like the 6th or the 7th. This is the Bryan Danielson Street Fighter themed shirt, limited edition on Pro Wrestling Tees. Not a bad shirt. That is your Bryan Danielson shirt. This is your Dr. Britt Baker shirt with the Street Fighter theme. And Dream 101 says, those shirts are worse than mine. My shirts are not bad. I'll probably wear one tomorrow. I got the jersey one. I didn't wear it tonight. I wanted to show a little respect to Lio Rush. That is the Britt Baker shirt. And here is the Darby Allin shirt with the Street Fighter theme. They're pretty nice. They're not bad. Let me just tell you something that no one else is. Those shirts are $37.99 a piece. If you buy the premium quality, so it doesn't turn into shit after three washings, that is another $3.99. You add in tax, you add in shipping, each one of those shirts are almost $50. You go to Upper Deck right now, you want an autographed Ruby Soho, $300. So this is the kind of money that they're charging. I seriously, I would not pay $50 I wouldn't pay $50 for my own shirts. So, look, if you get just a generic, regular shirt, and you want to pick it up in Chicago, $37.99, probably plus tax. So either way, you're looking at about $40 for the shirt. But, oh, God forbid, you're 2XL, 3XL, or 4XL, you'll be paying over $50 for those shirts. Oh, Benjamin, you know what? Next week, I will go on Upper Deck site. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. So I know tomorrow is channel members, but, you know, the audio version is available for everybody. But maybe tomorrow we'll go on Upper Deck site and we will go over and show everybody the what they're charging for AEW autographs. Some of them are $500. I am not kidding. It doesn't come with any ring-used panties or ring-used underwear. You don't get the cup that Orange Cassidy was wearing. You don't get... That is nuts. That is freaking nuts. But we'll show them tomorrow. We'll show them tomorrow. All right. One last comment and I'm out of here. We're right at 90 minutes and that's what I wanted to do tonight. I am only going to spend about 60 seconds on this topic. I had multiple invitations to go to GCW's event, The World, in Manhattan on Sunday. And I wanted to go. I wanted to see Reefer. I wanted to hang out with a few friends, a few people I haven't seen in about 10 years. A couple of indie guys I used to work with in VPW were there. And I told them, I said, look, I got to work Monday morning. By the time I get home from the city, it's going to probably be 12:30, 1 a.m. And when you go to a live wrestling event and you have a crazy-ass time, you come home. You don't pop an Ambien or a sleeping pill and fall asleep in 10 minutes. I probably would have been wired and would have been up until about 4 or 5 in the morning. And wouldn't surprise me if a bunch of my friends would have said, hey, let's go out to eat. Let's go to a diner. Let's get something to eat. That's what we always used to do. So if I didn't have to work Monday, I would have gone. So I stood home and I hosted the sit-down episode with the family. I got so much feedback from people who went, friends who wrestle, some who don't anymore because it's been that many years, some who have never experienced a GCW event, some who go back to the days of ECW. And yes, we had Bill Alfonso appear. You know, we had, you know, a couple of surprises. The results of the matches, I'm going to just read you the results. And I'm going to just then give you about 60 seconds of my honest, sincere opinion about this event. Now, before I even say anything, I want to just show you how many people went to this show. The place was freaking packed. I would have loved to have been hanging out in the crow's nest, but I couldn't. So a lot of people went. So the matches, you had Big Vin winning, they called it the Pass Blue Ribbon Kickoff Battle Royal. You know, do you think USA Pro Wrestling Battle Royals? You pretty much know what I'm talking about. Reefer won a scramble match pre-show, beat Alex Zane, Dante Leon, Shane Mercer, Jack Cartwheel, and Ninja Mac. Then you had Grab the Brass Ring ladder match, AJ Gray over PCO, Alex Colon, G Raver. Wow, G Raver. Tony Deppen, Jimmy Lloyd, and Jordan Oliver. Trios match, Team Gringo, which was Gringo Loco, Arez, and Dominic Flamita. They beat Team Bandito, which was Bandito ASF and Laredo Kid. You have Blake Christian over Leo Rush. Matt Cardona beating Joey Janela. You had Mance Warner and Matthew Justice with Sabu and Bill Alfonso in their corner. They beat Atticus Kogar, Eddie Only, Gregory Iron, and Bobby Beverly in a 4-on-2 handicap match. Bill Alfonso did a little refereeing, counted the pin. Ruby Soho over Alley Catch, Jeff Jarrett over Effie, John Moxley over Homicide to retain the GCW World title, and Matt Tremont and Nick Gage beating the Briscoes to become the GCW Tag Team Champions. Lee, thank you, Lee. I actually, not only did he send me this one from tonight's Dynamite, but I actually got my own screen capture. But thank you. Thank you. I definitely check it out. I never get enough of it. So I love it. Thank you. Once again, Xylot Themes, much love, my friend. All right. My honest thoughts about this GCW event. I had the opportunity to work a little bit with the original ECW for the final year, pushing tickets through my hotline. And I got to go to the events free, got to hang out backstage. We've told those stories to death. So I was around ECW. I used to go to the Philly shows in the 90s, Elks Lodge. I mean, ECW will always be my favorite promotion of all time. There are a lot of people who never experienced ECW when it happened and always wanted to create it. Just like you have a lot of fans that never experienced the original Monday Night Wars of WCW versus WWF, and they want to recreate that with WWE versus AEW. When you see epic things happen in wrestling that you were either too young to experience, were not born yet, or maybe you just weren't a fan of wrestling at the time, you regret it, and you always wish that you could go back in time and experience it. And it seems that there's a lot of people who try to use GCW to be that retro, that time capsule. My God, you look at their shirts. It is the exact shirt of ECW from around 2000, with the exception of the E as the G. The chant sounds like ECW. You see the ECW influence. Now, again, ECW will always be my favorite promotion of all time. The thing is, you can't recreate something that just the way it was so organic. The fans that went, most of them loved it because most of them are GCW fans. They have experienced the difference. Some people will know why I said that. So a lot of fans that were there loved it. Some were crying. Some people that I'm friends with, they're like, my God, I just, you don't, how everybody felt. That's not just a gushy, fragile somebody on social media. They really loved it. The problem is you had a lot of fans that never experienced GCW, never bought it to pay attention to GCW, never realized what it's about. It's not perfect. There's a lot of flaws in GCW. And they went and ordered it. They ordered the pay-per-view. And they were tremendously let down. And I heard that some podcast did reviews and ripped the shit out of it. The one thing they all have in common, 99% of them don't watch GCW on a regular basis. So it doesn't surprise me. I mean, back in 1993, well, more 94, when ECW, right before they became Extreme Championship Wrestling, there was a lot of people that, you know, were like, oh, no. I'm not watching that. So, you know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You can't recreate ECW. And I think sometimes they try to, and you realize you just can't. You just can't. You got to do things organically. And there are people that there's a togetherness that is awesome. And look, man, look, say what you want about the quality of the show. You see that many people attend, and you realize how many people bought the pay-per-view on Fight, they made crazy-ass money. The big problem is, how do you get a lot of those fans back? And the problem is, I don't know how you do. I don't get paid to do that. So I don't work for them, never been asked, nothing that I do. So people really ask me for my advice, then I'll think about it and give it, but you just, it's got to happen organic. You can't force a recreation of a niche or a feeling or a vibe. You know, there's a togetherness and a closeness. That's great. But I don't know what a lot of people were expecting. But, you know, I watched most of it. I thought it was okay. You know, but I think some people thought GCW was like above AEW or, you know, almost, trust me, there's some people online that think that GCW is the number three promotion in the world. You know, so, you know, it's almost like, I'll leave you with this and we'll go off the air. It's almost like, you ever see, I think Little Caesars came out with it. They came out with Batman Pizza Calzone. I don't know if you've seen that. Batman Pizza Calzone. I've never had the Batman Pizza Calzone, but I had a piece of the X one, the crazy one that they came out with a while back. And all I could say to you is that you either absolutely loved it, the grease, the garlic, the oil, the cheese, the pepperoni, more cheese, more oil, more garlic. You either loved it, it was a hot mess. You either loved it or you hated it. There really was no middle ground. And that's what this comes across to a lot of people. They either loved it or they hated it. And I don't know if GCW ever wants to get in the middle. Because if you start trying to go to the middle, you may lose a lot of your hardcore base. And if you stay really radical to the left, you're going to lose interest of those casuals. So that's why I think GCW may always be a niche promotion. I don't think I'm being unfair in anything I said. That's my honest take from it. So I'm going to jet out of here. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. You all be well. Stay safe. As you could hear, a little under the weather. I did test myself for COVID this morning. It came back negative. I'm going to test myself again tomorrow. I don't have any coughing or anything like that, but I don't know if either I strained my voice box, but I feel off. You know, like I have like this cold sweat and I just feel run down. I almost took off today. Almost did not do a show today, which is rare, but I thought Dynamite was great. NXT was good yesterday. I definitely wanted to talk about a little bit and, you know, we'll be good to go. So tomorrow, thank you, Dream. Much love. So tomorrow I will be here and for Q&A for our channel members. And I didn't forget about my friends earlier with the Super Chats. Mikey Ravello, a little something from him for making him laugh at that Sting Snow Angel that I did. That's the preview for tonight's show. Did I see the DT Rock sign? Obviously, yes. I showed it earlier. And have a kick-ass show. Thank you very much, as always. Eddie Valentino, greetings from Cleveland. Here watching Rampage now. Actually, you know what? See, I got to do it for Mikey, and I got to do it for Jay Carlos especially. And I kind of feel bad because Eddie Valentino's right smack in the middle, so I got to offer it to Eddie as well. So all three of you, DM me. You know, go check out DonTonyShirts.com. Pick something. Pick something you want from there. You know, there's T-shirts, mugs, blankets, tapestry, signs. You know, pick something out there, all three of you. DM me. Let me know what you want. It's on me. My way of saying thank you. I appreciate that. There was one other thing I needed to say. And it was actually important, too. I can't remember what the hell it was. What the hell was it? I don't remember. But anyway, tomorrow I will be here for our YouTube channel members. Oh, I know what it was. If you're a channel member here, we are going to do a predictions contest for the Royal Rumble. I am going to post the contest Friday night. You will have about a little less than 24 hours to put in your picks. The only reason why I'm not doing it before Friday night is because I want to see if anything changes with SmackDown or maybe if they add a match. If you haven't checked it out yet, when I go like this, we did Royal Rumble predictions on Monday. I'm getting a lot of interesting feedback. If Ronda Rousey's in a Rumble and she loses the Rumble, she gets eliminated, you be warned, I will be all over the net. Told you. A lot of people think that that's not going to happen. There is a very important reason why I think she may lose the Royal Rumble. And I'll just say there may be 50 million reasons. So you probably want to check that out. So, yes, there'll be a predictions contest. There'll be a predictions contest on Patreon as well, like we always do. And that's it. So tomorrow, Q&A with Don Tony for our channel members. So get your questions ready. And we'll probably go check out those autographs. See crazy prices that they charge. It's crazy. It's insane. I mean, there's nobody in wrestling that I would pay that kind of money for. Seriously. Not even if the picture featured somebody naked. So post your feedback. If you're not a subscriber yet, you know, if you enjoy the channel, subscribe. Every show has a different theme to it. And if you're not a channel member yet, you know, you can sign up. Tomorrow you'll get invited to an exclusive show, and then you got pay-per-view predictions on Saturday, so you might win a couple of dollars back in return. And channel members, they get a discount code for the merchandise and everything. So, everyone, I'm going to go take myself some cold medicine, get some sleep, and I will see you all again either tomorrow night at 10:05 or Saturday night immediately after the Royal Rumble. Enjoy the Rumble. It's going to be great. Some of the surprises that are being talked about that really have not even been covered in the news, I think it'll be fun for everybody. I think some of them are just people with passionate guesses, but I think we're going to have a banger of a show, and we'll see what happens. So, everyone, have a great night. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.